Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Randomly Generated History Club, where three non-historians pick a year at random and try to learn things about it. I'm Anna, and I'm here, as ever, with my two friends, Will and Ant.
Hello.
Okay.
Hi.
One of them will say hello at this point. Great, thank you. Totally normal introduction. This week we're talking about the year 1985, yeah. Which is really exciting.
It is. I have come fully decked in my elusive quadruple denim.
Yeah, I see that. It's amazing you found denim socks.
Yes, the three-piece suit and the denim socks completes the outfit. It's very chafy.
I'm also impressed that you're able to put your hair into a side pony.
Yeah, I know.
That's a
extensions.
Real feat.
I got extensions and put into a side ponytail.
So before we kick off, of course, we need our three-word summaries. So, Will, can I have your preview, please?
Colonial Freedom Path.
Oh, Jesus.
Colonial Freedom Path.
Okay, Ant.
Mine is Sky Ain't Happy.
Sky Ain't Happy.
Sky Ain't Happy.
Sky Ain't Happy on the Colonial Freedom Path.
What is yours?
Mine is Bring It Back.
Are there extra A's in the back?
Yeah. I wrote,
how many A's in there?
I wrote six A's. Yeah. So five superfluous A's.
Is this Dolly the Sheep, maybe?
Is Dolly the Sheep born in 85? It could
be. 96, I believe.
No, you don't know when Dolly the Sheep was born.
Well,
off
that's
the top
when
of your
she
head.
Was cloned. So
really?
What are we? Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Sorry, I do know that fact.
All right. Well, on to whatever it is that we're going to talk about next.
Yeah, on to not Dolly the Sheep. Okay, here we go. Today, I'm talking about definitely the most controversial thing that happened in 1985, possibly the entire decade, perhaps the whole century. Are you ready?
Yes.
It was the introduction of New Coke.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, hold on to your hats, people, because it's a real story. All right, so here's a little background to set the scene. Coca-Cola is a beverage, a soft drink.
Oh, I see.
Yes, it's popular around the world.
Is it a bit like Tab Clear?
It's a bit like Tab Clear.
Must be popular on TikTok or something.
Yeah. It's trending on TikTok. But in the 40 years leading up to the 80s, Coke had gone from a 60% market share to 24% as Pepsi got more popular. And Pepsi was getting popular specifically with younger people who, you know, we don't trust, but that was the case. And in 1980, a man named Roberto Goizueta becomes CEO of the Coca-Cola company and tells the company that there are no sacred cows in terms of reversing this trend.
So they put the cocaine back into
So they reintroduced the cocaine, and that's the end of the story. He and a top secret group launched what they called Project Kansas, which was a reformulation of the Coca-Cola formula to make it sweeter, because that's what people liked about Pepsi.
Yes. And actually, so if you ever do the blind taste challenge with Pepsi and Coke, Pepsi wins most of the time because they give you is like a thimbleful of drink.
Yeah.
And because your brain is wired, oh, this is sweeter, therefore my brain likes it more. they normally, not always, but often will go for the Pepsi.
Yeah.
And that's why they always beat in the blind taste tests.
Yeah. And then it turns out that if you give somebody a whole can of it or a bottle of it, after a while they're like, oh, this is actually too sweet. And
potentially,
it's just
yeah.
That, yeah.
I mean, they're both equally great.
Yeah. We are open to sponsorship from both. Or
yeah, yeah, yeah. Or Marlboro, if they want to reach out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. But the kids, the youth, really preferred that sweeter taste.
Can I ask a question? Did they ever find the sacred cows?
Well, because or did they not find them on the communist colonial freedom pathway?
It was an Indiana Jones movie, I think. Mm.
So the CEO comes in, he identifies that they're losing to Pepsi because of a lack of sacred cows.
Yes.
And he initiates a quest to Kansas to recover them. Is that correct?
That's
so far?
Exactly right.
Thank
and
you.
On the way, just as a side project,
yes.
They tinkered with the formula
Got
for
it.
Coke. But that's obviously.
Okay. And you're going to talk about the side project.
Totally incidental. Okay. Yeah, because the sacred cow hunt actually took place in 1984, so I can't talk about it.
I get mixed up.
Yeah. But back in 1985, they are getting ready to launch the outcome of Project Kansas, which is this new formulation of Coke. And they thought about launching it as a separate product, but they'd launched Diet Coke in 1982. They were preparing to launch Cherry Coke as well. Bottlers were already complaining about absorbing all these new products, and the company worried that another product would cannibalize old Coke's sales. So they decided to just launch it as Coke, replacing the current version. Taste tests had gone really well. They regularly beat regular Coke and Pepsi, possibly because of what you said, Ant, about the, you know, a thimbleful is very sweet and refreshing. In the South, which was a key market, people preferred the flavor. They were also really happy when they learned that it was a Coke product. However, about 10% of people in the South said that they would be angry if this...
Sorry, is this
Oh, sorry,
Sussex.
The South... I'm so sorry.
The Global South.
The South of America.
Oh, I
Not
see.
Not to be confused with South America.
With the South of anywhere else.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think it should be assumed when I say the South that you immediately know what I'm talking about. Yeah, the South of America, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, thereabouts, was a key Coke market. But 10% of taste testers in the South said they would be angry if the new formula replaced regular Coke because they didn't want regular Coke to go away. They would have been fine if this was a new thing, but they didn't want it to replace it. And they said that it would make them stop drinking Coke products altogether. So this is just the stakes that we're working with here. Despite this, Coke decided to go ahead with the launch. They held a press conference at Lincoln Center in New York City, but it did not go well because reporters had apparently been fed questions from Pepsi.
Oh, devious.
Which is so good. It launched anyway. The stock went up after the announcement, and within a few days, 80% of the American public had heard about the change, which
that
I think is
wow.
actually
huge.
Crazy.
I don't know that 80% have heard the news about anything
yeah,
in the States.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like there's 20% or more... haven't heard about the moon landing.
Yeah, 20% or more are in their bunkers preparing for the apocalypse.
That's incredible. Well done, marketing department.
So not only had 80% of the public heard about the change, surveys showed that most people were buying new Coke at the same level as they had bought old Coke, and most of them liked it. But then things started to take a turn. I'm going to return us to the South, the Southern United States.
Thank you.
These are historically very pro-Coke states. The home of Coca-Cola is Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was first bottled in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, Chattanooga.
Hang on, between Atlanta and Chattanooga, what do they use? Just kegs? Just keep it in their pockets.
Well, when it started, it was a syrup
Bags.
That they sold at soda fountains.
Oh. Okay.
And so three men in Chattanooga saw the potential of this and thought, what if you could put it in a bottle and give it to people so they didn't have to go to soda fountains?
That's very clever. Yeah, they do the best bottles
yeah.
in Chattanooga.
They really do. Yeah, yeah. I mean, as a side note, I am related to one of those three people. Yeah, so I'm showing my colors here. We are a Coke family.
You're a Coke family?
We're a Coke family.
Wow. I didn't know. So, I mean, like, were you in the bottling? Were you in the keg?
I'm a cola mogul.
You're a cola mogul.
Hey, what relation?
I think it's my grandmother's great uncle was one of the three.
Okay, so
men.
You're not at all related. Someone distantly.
No, but
yeah, I didn't
start.
Say it was my dad.
Okay, I was like very excited for a second. I thought you were like basically Paris Hilton.
No.
For Coke.
God, if I were Paris Hilton, if I were any sort of mogul, do you think I'd be doing this podcast?
Okay, but your great great grandparent, is that right?
Was the sibling, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That's like a thing.
Yeah. For many people in the South, you're either a Coke family or a Pepsi family. Coke is a real part of your identity, And lots of people thought that New Coke violated this very important relationship.
So deeply sad.
I know. Well, Americans,
capitalism, man,
believe in a lot of things. And some of those things are silly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this being America, people obviously took it too far. Some Southerners started saying that by releasing New Coke, the company was surrendering to the Yankees since the product had launched in New York City and Pepsi is also based in New York.
Did they know that a lot of people had already surrendered to the Yankees a couple hundred years before that?
Yeah, did they know? Probably not. In some places in the South, the Civil War hasn't ended, so...
No wonder they were upset. They saw this as the real end to the Civil War.
Yeah, exactly. It's just Lincoln betraying us all over again. One op-ed writer said that maybe because Goizueta's family, the CEO's family, was Cuban, that this was a communist plot.
Oh.
Which was ironic because Fidel Castro, who was himself a huge Coca-Cola drinker, called New Coke a sign of American capitalist decadence. So this is all
so
true.
Bizarre.
I know. I know. It's hilarious. It's like, it's a soft drink.
And where are the cows at this point?
After a few weeks, the company was receiving 1,500 calls a day and thousands of letters. One person apparently told the hotline, "I don't think I'd be more upset if you were to burn the flag in our front yard."
Wow.
So just real normal levels of reaction across the board here. As a quick aside, Bill Cosby had been a longtime Coke spokesperson, but he ended his contract in the wake of New Coke, claiming that his commercials that praised the superiority of the new formula had hurt his credibility. If only that was his only problem. So with all this in mind, you can possibly understand why, a mere 79 days after the launch, executives announced that they were reversing the decision and reintroducing the original formula of Coke, which would henceforth be known as Coca-Cola Classic.
Okay.
And this was such a big deal that Peter Jennings interrupted General Hospital with the news. And for a UK translation, that would be like Hugh Edwards breaking into EastEnders to tell everybody that old Coke was coming back.
And now for our Indonesian listeners.
That would be like, insert Indonesian anchor here.
Yeah.
A senator spoke from the Senate floor and called this a meaningful moment in U.S. history.
Bizarre.
The reactions just continue to be incredibly
baffling.
Appropriate.
Yeah. Like they had no real problems in 85, apparently.
No, everything was cool. Yeah, I think you know what it was, is that because it was still a Cold War, we needed a hot war. And it was...
You needed a cold beverage for a Cold War.
We needed a cold beverage for a Cold War. Oh, man. You're very good at marketing.
I know.
You should have been in the mix. So they reintroduced Old Coke, which was now called Coca-Cola Classic. New Coke was still sold as just Coke.
Okay.
Without the just. Just.
Just Coke.
Just the word.
You're bad at marketing.
Coke.
Don't call it that.
Just Coke, without the just. It was sold as Coke until 1992, when they renamed it Coke 2. But its sales dwindled and it was eventually fully discontinued in 2002. Meanwhile, the reintroduced, renamed Coca-Cola Classic was crushing both New Coke and Pepsi in sales, which brings us to conspiracy theories.
Yes, Medici's did this.
The Medici's were behind it. So the first conspiracy, can you guys guess?
I think the conspiracy that I kind of have heard about in the ether of, you know, my conspiracy nut friends, is that this is actually all a ploy in the first place to just create this negative PR.
Yeah.
Just a massive marketing stunt.
Exactly. That is the first and kind of most famous conspiracy theory, that they switched the formula just to gin up this response. The Coke president at the time said, "We're not that dumb and we're not that smart," which I think is a great quote. The second conspiracy theory is around America's national food, high fructose corn syrup, which is that Coke had been planning to make the switch from real sugar to corn syrup. And they were using the new Coke launch as a smokescreen to do
so
people wouldn't get upset that they were removing sugar from the Coke. But Bottlers had actually already been making that switch since 1980, and by the time that New Coke was launched, most had already made the switch, so that one doesn't really hold water. And then the third one is actually my favorite, which is, this is the 80s, so it's the middle of the war on drugs, Reagan's incredibly successful campaign.
And what happened to drugs?
Yeah, we beat them. Yeah, they're gone.
You never hear about them these days. Yeah.
So as the war on drugs escalated, some people suggested that this was a cover for removing all derivatives of the coca plant in order to placate the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency in America. However, as far as I can tell, Coke still uses coca leaves. They're just, rather than like fresh leaves, they're spent leaves that have been decocainified at a special plant in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And this is true. I looked this up. There's this one plant that basically takes the cocaine out of the coca leaf, and then they're the only manufacturing plant authorized by the government to import and process coca leaves, which it gets from South America. And then they, when they have extracted the cocaine, they sell it to a different company, which is the only company in the U.S. licensed to purify cocaine for medicinal use.
Wow.
Just as a little sidebar.
They must have extremely productive workers.
They
must be tearing through that.
I looked it up. I was like, what is the medicinal use of cocaine? I guess, you know, it's an...
I think in dentistry that sometimes it is. Yeah,
that's exactly
it's an anesthetic.
It's an anesthetic. And in fact, in like nasal surgery, they'll put it in noses as an anesthetic. So I don't know. Who knows what's actually true or not behind the launch? I think the only thing we can all agree on is that it was a total fiasco. But also that after it was all done, Coke was once again the market leader.
Yeah, I would love to taste it. Have you tasted it?
Well, they released it in 2019. They did a limited run of it for as a tie-in with Stranger Things.
Oh, of course.
Because
that
takes place in 1985, and they drank New Coke in the show. And they released like 500,000 bottles of it or something. They obviously sold out within seconds.
Yes, yeah.
And there are lots of like BuzzFeed articles from 2019.
Like, you know, unopened boxes that sell for like tens of thousands.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Like Pokemon trading, you know, cards or whatever.
Just one quick postscript, though. The CEO, Goizueta, said that he never regretted the decision to switch, and he continued to drink New Coke until his death in 1997, which I really respect.
Okay, this week I am in the American colonies, or
thanks for dialing in,
or the United States of America,
okay,
as the woke left insist on calling it.
Jesus.
And I'm talking about Route 66, or US Highway 66.
Get your kicks.
Not to be confused with Order 66 or the Clone Protocol 66, which was a very reasonable contingency plan developed by Chancellor Palpatine.
Jesus.
If you don't know what that is,
it's a little Star Wars reference.
I got it from Chancellor Palpatine, but boy howdy, that feels
it's
like a deep
cut. It's when he just
cut.
Says kill them all, basically.
Yeah,
just,
cool. Yeah.
It's a very funny Star Wars joke.
That's
so Route
great,
66
great Star Wars joke.
Was one of the original highways in the United States numbered highway system.
The 66th one?
No.
Oh.
We will come on to this.
Oh yeah, there's a whole thing.
There are politics.
Is it
play.
A straight line on the 66th parallel? Is that
No, not that no, no.
Okay, I won't guess any further.
So it was established on November the 11th.
1966. Sorry, this is my last guess.
1926.
Oh.
And it's the highway that became arguably the most famous and most iconic, arguably because there's a few others in there, but
name
one. I don't
pretty
know.
Iconic.
I'd put it up there.
Yeah, it's right up there.
Yeah.
And it became one of the most famous roads in the colonies, running from Chicago, Illinois, through Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, before ending up in Santa Monica in Los Angeles County, California.
Yes, it does.
Covering a total of
66 actually, miles.
Okay, fine. Guess how many miles?
Oh boy.
Chicago to Santa Monica.
2,700 miles.
Yeah, 2,400.
It's 2,448.
Well, that's pretty close.
Miles.
Amazing.
That is pretty close.
So it runs, yeah, from Chicago to Santa Monica, California.
I'm also like taking into account the length of the pier in Santa Monica as well, which is notorious.
Oh, sorry. No,
which is 300 more miles.
Yeah. 300 miles. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's my mistake.
No, fair enough.
Yeah. And little known fact, it does actually only go in that direction. So it's a one-way road from Chicago to Santa Monica, California.
No, that's a lot,
fact.
Right?
That's
no,
a fact.
Okay. I was like, hang on. I feel like I would have known that.
Once you get on it, you got
to
go.
Wait, were you close to potentially believing that?
Yeah, I was.
Phenomenal.
Just like, what do we do? Our car's stuck in Santa Monica.
You plane. You get a plane back.
Yeah,
you ship
get a plane
it.
Back.
You ship it in a plane.
Yeah.
So that's not true. And in John Steinbeck's novel, The Grapes of Wrath, or The Grapes of Wrath, I suppose.
Yes, sorry, that's how I pronounce it. Wrath.
In 1939, the highway symbolizes, quote, escape, loss, and the hope of a new beginning, which is also the title of my ex-wife's autobiography.
Zing, boom, boom.
Little good. Joke. Yeah. So the US 66
your
was...
Your ex-wife was illiterate, that's the joke.
Of course,
she was an illiterate serf, you know, in the 1700s, because as we know...
He's a time traveler.
Will is a time traveler, yeah.
She definitely couldn't read. US 66 was a primary route for people who migrated west, it being a one-way road, especially during the Dust Bowl of the 1930s.
What the Dust Bowl? What?
Oh, yeah. The Great Depression, the Dust Bowl, Okies.
I've heard the Great Depression.
Yeah.
What was the Dust Bowl? It's just the same name for the same thing.
Well, are you about to talk about it?
Why don't you go for it?
It was basically the just like ramifications of the Great Depression. There was also maybe like a climate element.
Yeah.
A lot of farms failed.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so a lot of settlers moved from Oklahoma and generally in the Midwest out to California looking for farm work. And that's the plot of East of Eden.
Yeah, yeah. And there was also, it was...
Not East of Eden, Grapes of Wrath.
Right, yeah. And of Mice and Men. I think they're on the road for a similar...
He wrote about one
farm
thing.
Worker. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there's like the desertification of this whole area and the kind of and the progressive migration west of all these people just looking for like agricultural labor.
There's a really famous photo you may have seen of a black and white of a really poor woman holding like three kids. Dorothea Lange took it. Anyway, that's a very famous Dust Bowl.
Yeah, I remember when that was taken. And people along the route became quite prosperous as people then were driving along this road, and they later fought to keep it alive in the face of the growing threat of becoming bypassed by the newfangled interstate highway system.
Eisenhower.
That's right. Very good. So, in fact, I'll come on to Eisenhower and his influence in a moment. So, in the end, progress eventually came, as it does for us all, for Route 66.
Aww.
And despite the many improvements and realignments over its lifetime, it was officially removed from the US highway system in 1985. After it was entirely replaced by segments of that interstate highway system. And portions of the road that pass through Illinois, Missouri, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Arizona have been communally designated a National Scenic Highway.
They didn't like bulldoze the road. It still exists. It's just not in the highway system anymore.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. They didn't like actively send out millions of people
carpet
to hack
it
up.
Or
like...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And when you say communally identified as, that just means like a bunch of people with no authority has just said this thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So like, yeah, okay.
It's just like being turned into a local tourist attraction bits of little segments of it. Yeah. And but some of it is now just totally unpaved, like overgrown, you know, and that kind of thing.
Is that true?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I still thought you could drive the whole thing.
You can, but bits of it, if you were to drive the like the most iconic original route that was active during the 30s to the sort of 70s, then you'd be driving, bits of it would be like off-roading. Dirt track now, basically.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And here we go. So you've already been told the year it was officially designated as Route 66, which was...
1926.
Yes, correct. Okay, but guess what year it was started? So construction started on this interstate, well, not on this, one of the original, what would become one of the original US highways. Construction started when? Ant first.
I'm guessing it's going to be like super, super early. Like some section of it to say, oh, we've got this grand idea. So like probably 50 years before or something like that. Like I think really early.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to push you here on a year.
Okay. Let's go. Let's say 1870.
1870.
I'm going to say 1906.
Ant has won one of the US quiz thingies.
Wow.
The year is 1857.
Wow.
Ooh, nice.
That's
nice.
Very
Pre-Civil
old.
War. There was a guy called Lieutenant Edward Fitzgerald Beale, who was a naval officer in the U.S. Army Corps of Topographical Engineers.
Uh-huh.
Seen a lot of action, mate.
The Army Corps of Engineers is a big deal.
Yeah, but the topographical
section. Topographical Corps of Engineers.
Yeah. Maybe that's just what they used to call.
Yeah, they just collect maps.
I support Lieutenant Beale.
And he was ordered by the War Department to build a government-funded wagon road along the 35th parallel. And quite weirdly, his secondary orders were to test the feasibility of the use of camels as pack animals in the southwestern desert.
This guy really isn't achieving a lot in his career with those two orders.
I think he achieved a lot. I'm proud of him.
He was literally just given a bunch of camels and they were just like, right, Bill, just go west. Go.
Wow.
Just go.
Is this why we all use camels now in the States?
And famously, yes, this is why our civilizationally wide use of camels, this is where it comes
That's
from.
That's right. That's exactly
right. So the numerical designation at 66 was much argued over because each state had to use different numbers themselves in different contexts. Uh-huh. And they had also had a system whereby different numbers were at lower latitudes than the other ones. And so there was a big hoo-ha over what number they were going to choose eventually. But ultimately, they settled on 66.
Because it rhymes with the most things for the song.
They wrote the song first.
Yeah, they wrote the song first. The road. They're like, sorry, we already have the chorus. Get your kicks on route. It can't be route 57.
It could be 56, though.
What? No.
But like, I'm assuming 66 because no one state had, you know, the maximum number of roads in one state was 65, let's say. Or potentially because nobody wants to say 66 because
the
devil's number or something like that was 666.
So it was going to be 60, and then Missouri kicked off, and they had to change it to 66. And eventually, when maps finally came out showing it, Missouri was still putting it on there as 60 until they had to, like, eventually they got into line. Classic Missouri.
I hate Missouri.
And the beginning of the decline of US 66 came in 1956.
Okay.
With the signing of the Interstate Highway Act by President
Eisenhower.
That's right. Who was influenced by his own experience in 1919 when he was a young army officer and he was crossing the country in a truck convoy.
Not a camel?
Yeah, in a camel convoy.
Sorry,
yeah.
In a camel convoy.
Thank you.
And generally thought it was a terrible experience compared to what he'd seen in Germany of the Autobahn network, which...
That tracks.
Was better.
Yeah.
Yet they can still only go 55 miles an hour.
No.
In the U.S.?
In the U.S.
No.
What's the speed
limit?
No,
my friend. In many places in the Midwest and the upper Mountain West, it's unlimited.
Is that right?
Really?
In a lot of places, it's now up to 75 or even 80.
Huh.
Yeah. Like Montana, I think, has no speed limit on part of the interstate.
I stand corrected.
I'd say most places, especially in the big wide open states, it's 65 or 70. Yeah.
But you will struggle to get the camels over 45.
You will. You will. You have to incentivize them heavily.
Massively, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when the highway was decommissioned, sections of the road were disposed of in many cities, although, as I said, a bunch of cities still kept the 66 designation for the stretches that they kept kind of in memorial of the thing to bring the tourists in. But overall, though, assigning a mythical importance to tarmac is really dumb, and there's nothing romantic about it at all. And that's everything you need to know about Route 66.
I mean, I feel so attacked because I was literally planning in my head, maybe I'll ride my motorbike all along 66. That's so romantic.
So romantic.
I'm attaching a lot of value and
it's a piece of tarmac.
Yeah, okay, fine.
You know, my favorite thing about everything you just did. So in early years, when we have trouble coming up with things, we just look at who died in that year. And you had the entirety of 1985 and you still picked a thing that died in 1985.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah.
It's real last minute stuff.
Oh, so good.
My turn.
Yes.
Perilous year. Lots going on. I was potentially conceived in
okay.
85.
Okay, all right. Let's just breeze right past that one.
No, I was going to cover that in full, actually, but I'm going to push that.
This is upsetting.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I wanted to cover is, because it was kind of hard to make anything jokey about some really serious stuff that did happen and still kind of affects geopolitics today, such as New Coke.
Yeah.
I can't believe you've treaded those waters.
Yeah, I'm willing to speak truth to power.
You're going
to
get atted big time. But the one thing that I'm going to talk about is the weather, because, everyone can talk about the weather politely. Yeah. Scientists from the British Arctic Survey. Antarctic Survey. British Antarctic Survey.
Oh, I was like, yes, his name is Ant.
Announced the discovery of a hole in the ozone layer. And this is quite detrimental because the ozone layer protects us, and we're going to go into a bit more detail on science in a bit. And I'm sure you guys have definitely heard about the ozone layer. Most of our listeners have heard about it. It's, it's one of these, you just talked about the sort of marketing and, knowledge of everyone knowing about New Coke.
Yeah,
the ozone layer is an extremely successful marketing campaign by activists.
God has a really good PR department.
Really good, really good. I thought I'd dive a bit deeper. Now, first of all, I think I need to explain exactly what ozone is and what its role is and why it's important and why a hole is bad. So, in the words of a renowned philosopher and great thinker of our time, scientist, and just overall laureate, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Here comes the science bit.
When did she say that?
She a massively famous campaign for like L'Oreal when she did the ad. It's like, here comes the science bit.
Oh, and they explained, I don't remember that.
Vitamin E is going into your hair and doing good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't listening for that part, obviously.
Yeah.
But ozone, okay, so just to go over brief, some sort of, mid-level high school chemistry stuff. Ozone is simply oxygen atoms in a specific combination. So oxygen that we normally breathe is like two atoms stuck together. Ozone is three of these atoms stuck together in a chemical bond together. Oxygen, as we know, is highly reactive. It causes rust, aging. It's the main components of all froths and foams. It's really important stuff.
Wow.
All that's regular.
You really
oxygen.
Know your stuff.
Yeah. Really, your average foam is basically mostly oxygen.
Is that true?
Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah. Name a foam.
I mean, I know you're saying it several times, okay, and your voice is high.
Name one foam. Hessen Blumenthal, nothing but oxygen.
Oh my God. Okay, let's just accept that all foams are mostly oxygen so we can get done with the science
and
bit.
And froth, the main constituency of flotsam and or jetsam, is oxygen.
Those are the eels from Little Mermaid.
I don't know what's happening, but just keep going.
Anyway, all that's just regular two-atom boring oxygen, boo. When you put three of them together, they take on a really interesting property where they actually help stop and deflect ultraviolet light, or specifically UVA and B, which is two sort of segments of the spectrum. And that actually prevents that from coming through from the sun and giving everyone skin cancer. So all this O3 floats up and forms a protective barrier in the stratosphere, which is how far up is the stratosphere?
Oh.
The stratosphere.
The stratosphere.
Stratosphere.
I'm going to say 25 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 25 miles. 10.
Oh, come
25
on.
25 miles. Yeah.
It is between 20 and 25 kilometers. Well done, Will. Although I do, have issue with the whole stratosphere in quotation. It should be stratus, like flat.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Stratus flat.
Stratus flat.
But the interesting thing, though, and I didn't know this, actually, is that ozone is actually not actually that plentiful. So there is approximately three...
one of them.
There's approximately three molecules of ozone per 10 million molecules of air. So that's still enough to keep the bad sun away from us.
Wow.
So it's really not that plentiful at all. But of course, there's so much air above us that this layers up and that kind of stuff as well. So the BAS, British Antarctic Survey, as I call them, they do all these tests the whole time. You can actually go on their website and download all their data if you want to and look at the core samples, and it transforms over years. It's fascinating stuff. Really highly recommend it for date night.
Okay.
I've put together some slides, Anna. I'll take you through later. But they've been taking samples of the atmosphere, and they've noticed a drop in ozone, and they couldn't explain it. And they've noticed there's about a 4% drop over the Antarctic that occurred in the springtime when the sun came up, because, well, they actually didn't know why. And so this sparked a worldwide study and scientific intrigue, and it was discovered that since the mid-70s had been dropping and dropping and dropping, and the race was on for discovering the cause and what does it mean, because they knew it was actually potentially quite bad. So enter one of the heroes of the tale, Dr. Susan Solomon. She was an American atmospheric scientist, and she led the investigation in the Antarctic, and from there discovered this the reason behind it. So you all know the cause and the baddie in the story, don't you? So what is it?
CFCs.
Will.
Oh no, have I walked into a trap? You've got a look CFCs, on your face, Will. Like I've walked into a trap.
Well, it depends on your position, whether you...
Oh, God.
Wrong, capitalism.
Oh, yeah, that's always the problem.
Well, corporate greed, definitely. But CFCs is basically the actual chemical reason why. So a bit more science. So chlorofluorocarbons, there's a sort of a family of like these when you combine, it's molecules that can combine carbon, fluorine and chlorine. And it also goes under the snazzy brand name of Freon. So if you've ever heard of Freon in like air cooling, this is this. It's the creme de la creme of primo, cheap, flame-proof, non-toxic propellant. Mm. So you could stick it into anything you wanted. You could use it for extinguishing fires. You could put it into a bottle.
Would you say it's a foam?
You could make foam from it.
If you're extinguishing a fire with a foam made of oxygen, you're going to have a bad time.
Okay, when I said before that all foams are made of oxygen.
You're going to walk that one right back, huh?
Look, I've grown as a person. I like to acknowledge my mistakes in the past, my flaws, and I hope that we can get through this together, that some foams do contain other things than oxygen.
Okay.
Rare that they are. And when they do, they turn out to be quite evil. anyway, so it evaporates very quickly. So this is ideal for like, you know, anything that you want to evaporate quickly, not affect the food, not poison the people that you're doing or like spraying it onto, like deodorants, etc. And no residue, etc. Magic stuff. Capitalism is very happy. They can make this in abundance and sell all the products. You get cheese whip, you get whatever you want. One unforeseen consequence to this magical gas was that high in the atmosphere, it actually broke down when exposed to sunlight in a process called photodissociation. Oh. And what happens is the CFCs break down when an atom of the chlorine sort of escapes from this bond. So this bond breaks down and chlorine ejects out of it. It's known as a free radical because it's just a free spirit. It doesn't want to be held back.
It doesn't want to be bonded.
And then that goes off and then that knocks... ozone apart. So it actually says, no, don't bond together in a trio, bond with me. And it makes a new molecule, which then actually then breaks down over time and frees up the chlorine again. So what you have then is you have this sort of effective catalytic chain reaction where you constantly have this chlorine moving from ozone to ozone molecule and breaking it all up. And so this one...
Free love.
Yeah, exactly. Really gets around. Dr. Susan Solomon led a press conference and information campaigns, and people became very worried because skin cancer was, you know, is a very visible threat. It was very understandable. It was very present. It was, you know, nearby and is very much on the horizon. And thankfully, the solution to this was actually relatively cheap and straightforward. I think that...
Wear a hat.
Yeah. Just don't go outside. Yeah.
Well, that's honestly been my solution.
Let capitalist progress continue and don't go outside. You are nothing but a purchase pig. Yeah, just keep spending money.
Why couldn't we just keep using the CFCs, but maybe put like a giant orbital sombrero up? That was... yeah, I
mean, well, it's a great question.
I think it wasn't until about 10 years later they had the sombrero technology in place to do that.
Right.
You know,
right,
so, yeah. I mean, had this come up now, I'm sure we would have all been basking under the cool shade of the giant sombrero in the sky.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, good. The solution to this was actually stop using CFCs. And thankfully, the replacement for this, which was HCFC, which is hydrocarbon alternatives.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the reason why it actually was able to be done was, one, the public awareness and the pressure on politicians and stuff. There was movies, TVs, everything. It was just part of the zeitgeist where everyone knew about this thing. You know, this is like... For the first time, I think, really everybody sort of understood that the environment was in jeopardy. Before that, it was like, yeah, keep burning tires in your backyard. It's totally fine. So it wasn't any skin off the back or nose of most corporations. So DuPont was the one that had the Freon patent. But it was so cheap that it was actually, yeah, capitalism can still truck on and we're going to be fine without it. Whereas if you look at some of the things today that are still environmentally impactful, there's not really a as cheap alternative in many places.
And I guess it was one of those ones where there was like a very clear mechanism, right?
Yeah.
It's like, stop using this stuff or it has this very clear chemical effect. And pretty much everyone can understand that, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. And just a few short years later, in 1987, the Montreal Protocol was signed. How many countries do you think signed the Montreal Protocol?
Montreal's one of the ones with highest adherence. I think I would put it 187.
Mm. Okay. So how many countries do you think didn't sign it?
Oh, two. Mm. Maybe one.
There's got to be a couple of standouts. Yeah, I reckon two.
Usually it's like the
Turkmenistan
US
at the time
Syria
was quite silly, I think.
Yeah.
So, wrong. Every single country signed it.
I did wonder, yeah.
Every single country. It remains the only treaty that has been signed by every planet. Sorry, I'm giving away my alien roots.
Yeah.
Every country on the planet.
Yeah.
So it's the only one of all time ever. And that actually agreed to sort of a step down, ramp down of using CFCs very quickly and to replace them, which HCFCs or some other alternative. It's been ratified 9 times to expand it to other problematic chemicals. When they found one of the HCFCs was problematic, they included that as well. There is one notable exception to a gas, a very famous gas that does break down the ozone layer, and that's nitrous oxide, which is actually one of these other ones that I can actually
just... Oh, but how am I supposed to drag race without my NOS?
yeah. You and Vin Diesel drag racing.
What are we supposed to do? Talk to each other?
Yeah. But as a result of all this, great news, the ozone layer is healing. So the ozone levels are actually increasing the atmosphere, and we expect to get back to 1980s level by 2050, 2070.
That's pretty good.
So, something like that. So a remarkable international effort, and also probably the reason why I'm still so pasty and white. So,
yeah. You just blame it on the ozone layer.
Blame it on the ozone layer, yeah, for sure.
But famously looked like a 98-year-old.
But famously looked like a 98-year-old. Yeah.
Sweet, sweet UVA.
I get the UVA massive
quantities. He only lets those
ones in. I'm taking supplements.
That was great. I want to get ahead of one thing because I know we'll get thousands of emails about this. You did call it cheese whip. It is cheese whiz.
Cheese whiz.
Yes. Everybody put your pens down.
Is cheese whip a thing?
I don't think so.
What are either of these things?
I can make a whip
cheese.
Out of cheese
whiz is like a can, like a whipped cream can.
It's basically
cheese.
A can full of like cheese juice and oxygen.
Foamy cheese.
To make you.
It is. It does. It's a foam, so it's oxygen.
It's extremely flammable. You've got the perfect trifecta of like.
This is a sprayable cheese.
Yeah. Not like spray paint.
Yeah, you
got to
range about like 40, 50 feet of it. You can really get it
like
from
a cheese cannon.
It's sort of like the consistency of toothpaste.
Right. Yeah.
But it's cheese.
You're really selling it.
And you can brush your teeth with
it. They use it for anti-riots. You're really going home.
All our French listeners. This is amazing. I didn't know this thing existed.
Good. All right, thanks for joining us. That's everything you'd ever need to know about the year 1985. We're all going to go watch Back to the Future and introduce Will to the concept of cheese whiz. Before we go, I wanted to say a quick shout out to our newest Patreon board member, Hillary. Thank you so much for your support.
Erudite, classy, refined,
all those
intelligent
things. She's never eaten cheese whip in her life.
Never.
Dang,
no,
it,
no,
you've
no,
got me calling it cheese whip. Cheese whip. You're in my head.
She is the chlorine to our O3.
What, she drives us apart and ruins the world?
Maybe not. Well, we'll find out. Yeah, and if you'd like to also join the club board, then you can do that at patreon.com/randomlyhistory.
Yeah.
Go there and have a look.
And you too could maybe be shouted out and slash compared to something terrible.
Only if you're lucky.
Anyway, it's time to move on and get our next year. So, Will, could you please just roll out the RNG, dust it off, and give us our new year?
I can. And as a reminder, we are setting the random number generator in accordance with the club rules to choose a year between 1000 BCE and 2000 CE. And the year is 177.
Okay. Back to the Romans.
Yeah.
Thanks, RNG. Have we done one from this century yet?
I don't think so. No.
I think we have.
No, we haven't. We haven't done of CE or BCE 100 something. I don't think. So that's exciting. Oh, yay, second century.
Yeah, loads on that, yeah.
It's going to be great. That was actually when Route 65, the construction started.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Original Coke.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Well, there's got to be some Roman stuff. We'll be okay.
Yeah, we'll be fine. And okay. We'll see you then.
See you next week.
Toodles. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.